So, I'm going to welcome everybody to the Siskiyou County Planning Regular Meeting, May 17th, 9 a.m. Call this meeting to order. So, pledge allegiance, please.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, roll call, please.
Commissioner Hart?
Here.
Commissioner Fowle?
Present.
Commissioner Veal?
Here.
Commissioner Lindler?
Here.
Commissioner Mello is absent today.
Thank you. Great, so approval of the minutes from the April 19th, 2023 meeting. Are there any changes or corrections?
Move to accept as submitted.
I have one. Let me see. On page... Let's see what page this is. On page 6 of 10, during public comment, I just want to correct for the record, Teresa Amesbury. I know her last name is Amesbury instead of OS. I just want to make that correction.
And through the chair?
Yes.
On the Siskiyou telephone, after the description of the project, I had it as use permit instead of tentative parcel map, so that needs to be corrected too.
Okay.
So I'll make those corrections.
Okay, thank you. Anything else? Make a motion.
Move to accept with amendments.
Okay.
Second.
So we have a motion and a second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Okay. Okay, motion carries. Are there any unscheduled appearances? Seeing none, nobody online? Okay. Any conflicts of interest that need to be declared today? Okay, seeing none. So, presentation of documents. All items presented to the Planning Commission during a public hearing become a permanent part of the record. 12 copies of any information presented to the Commission should be given to the clerk of the Commission for distribution to the commissioners. In order to obtain an accurate record of the testimony, please address the Commission at the speaking table and clearly introduce yourself with your full name and address. Your address will not be included in the minutes of the meeting. A maximum of 5 minutes per speaker will be given so that all interested parties will have an opportunity to address the Commission. All public records related to an open session item on this agenda, which are not exempt from disclosure pursuant to the California Public Records Act, that are distributed to a majority of the legislative body, will be available for public inspection at 806 South Main Street, Wairika, at the same time that the public records are distributed or made available to the members of the legislative body. All projects documents are on file at the Planning Division of the Siskiyou County Community Development Department at 806 South Main Street in Wairika, and they are available for public review. Item 8 is the public hearing protocol. I just make a request for everybody to review that. Item 9, no. Projects heard at this Planning Commission meeting may be subject to appeal within 10 calendar days of today's meeting. If the 10th day falls on a weekend, the appeal must be received the following business day. Please contact the county clerk for information. Appeals must be submitted to the county clerk's office together with the appeal fee of $1,250. If you challenge the environmental review or the project proposal in court, you may be limited to raising only those issues raised at the public hearing or in written correspondence delivered to the Siskiyou County Planning at or prior to the public hearing. Are there any changes to the agenda or items to be continued?
Yes, the project that we were intending on hearing today, that was a continuation from last month's meeting, the Bees Use Permit UP 2131. After the Planning Commission meeting, they actually submitted a withdrawal letter to us withdrawing their project, so we are done with that project at this point.
Okay.
They found another property that's more favorable to what we want to do.
It's a good thing.
I
I went down and visited the property. It was a little tight.
Okay, great. Well, thank you. So then we'll move on to new business. So the first agenda item is the DeGray tentative parcel map, TPM 2205. It's categorically exempt. Staff report, please.
Thank you. Rachel Jarab, Senior Planner. As you mentioned, this is TPM 2205, Jack DeGray's tentative parcel map. He is requesting approval of a tentative parcel map to subdivide an existing 5.55-acre parcel into two parcels. The subject parcel is located at 1633 Davis Place Road, which is northwest of the city of Mount Shasta. It's zoned for rural residential agricultural uses with a 2.5-acre minimum parcel size, and both proposed parcels would exceed that minimum parcel size. The project is consistent with the Subdivision Map Act, general plan, and zoning for its area, and the project is proposed to be exempt from CEQA pursuant to sections 15061B3 and 15303. No public comments have been received for this project. Environmental Health, California Fish and Wildlife, California Historical Resources Information System, and Siskiyou County Public Works all commented on this project, and their comments are included in the staff report as well as staff's response. Staff recommends determining the project categorically exempt and approving this tentative parcel map, and there is a suggested motion in the packet.
Okay, great. So with that, are there any comments at this time from the commissioners? Okay, so I'll open up the public hearing. Is there anybody in the audience online? There's nobody here who would like to speak.
If you would like to speak regarding this project, please raise your hand on Zoom. Seeing none at this time.
Okay, great. I will close the public hearing then. Any further discussion from the commissioners? Oh, thank you. Any project opponents that would like to speak on this issue?
Sorry. Seeing none.
Okay, thank you. Now I will close the public hearing. Commissioners, any questions?
I just have a comment.
Okay.
To go on the record. It continues to irritate the hell out of me. We get comments from CDFW on a simple project such as this, and they send us 5.5 pages of comments, and one of them is in relation to concern over the impact it's going to have on riparian areas. I went down after I saw this just because I'm pretty sure I thought I knew where this was. If CDFW can't send a live body out to view before they send in asinine comments like this, stop frick submitting comments. This is idiocy. This is state at its finest. I make sure that's every bit in their record. Thank you. I'm done.
Okay, thank you. Commissioner Hart?
Oh, yeah. I've got a question of staff here.
Okay.
On the second page, in the fourth paragraph,
what page you
on? The very
page two.
Page two.
Okay.
1994, the code enforcement complaint showed up in the records here somewhere. And it was zoned rural residential agriculture. How is there a zoning violation now?
So there was a zoning complaint regarding the horse corrals and the dust that they generated, as well as the manure. Code enforcement investigated that complaint and did not find that there was anything that was actually illegal in what was going on. As you mentioned, it is rural residential agricultural. Uh-huh. People having horses, the dust that they generate, having the horses eat the landscape that may already be existing is something that is not illegal as far as what is allowed in that zoning district. So nothing occurred with that complaint. It was dismissed.
Okay. Because I, like Mr. Bell, went down there, and I spent about an hour driving around down there looking at that. And the complaint here talks about vegetation being removed. And if you look at the photograph, it shows to the north of that property a lot of bare ground.
Yep.
And somebody's gone in there with a masticator and thrashed the brush and filed it for fire safety that I can see.
Yep.
Which I see no problem with. I need to do that.
That's actually my
yet project. Here a number of years ago, that occurred on Green Avenue in Mount Shasta between Interstate 5 and the railroad track. And the property owner that did that got yarded into the law enforcement of the Central Valley Regional Water Quality Control, and he ended up with a $250,000 fine for getting rid of vegetation. Where does the county get involved in this stuff or do that? That's just, you have a right to get rid of the vegetation off your property for fire safety or not?
You have a legal requirement.
Yeah, so it's not our purview. Just as an example, when we need to complain, we respond, essentially. Fire safety is fire safety. I don't know. That's a sad story.
It just seems that anything that comes from Edgewood South, there's an awful lot of neighbor hate down there. It really is. It's just...
You seen the fire safety they've done up here on the hillside?
They
skinned it.
There's nothing wrong with that.
No, but I'm saying that
if
they were talking about taking vegetation down.
But that's North Coast water quality.
That's North Coast. That's not Central Valley region.
No.
Which is the irony. We have, our county has two
different water
two water quality.
I sat there and watched the guy with the masticator go through there on that, between the railroad track and the... Mm-hmm. And I watched them do it up here on Military Pass Road, where they went all the way from 97 all the way to 89 down through there.
Best thing they could have done.
Yeah.
Every year.
All right.
Just add that it is on there's millions of dollars being made available for fire suppression efforts. Not suppression, but, you know, mitigation efforts.
So is it only the... Some of the municipalities around here get after landowners about getting rid of vegetation on their lots. That we don't have anything like that in the county.
It all falls to CAL FIRE and 4291 regulations.
Okay.
How about weed abatement? Do they get involved with that? County gets involved with weed abatement?
If it's a noxious weed.
Yeah. The county has a team or two. They were down to pick up. I think they finally got it replaced, but they're already 2 weeks behind because of the weather we've had.
Yeah. And that's through the county ag department, and they go after noxious weeds.
Usually they spray July, August. This year they better get out there tomorrow because the knapweed's already like this.
Might help too.
So back to this agenda item. Any more discussion, or do we need a motion?
I move that we adopt resolution PC 2022-031, a resolution of the Planning Commission of the County of Siskiyou, State of California, determining the project exempt from the California Environmental Quality Act and approving the decree extended parcel map TPM 22-05.
Great, so we have a motion, we have a second.
I'll second that one.
Okay. This is a voice vote. So all those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay, motion carries. Thank you. So agenda item number 2, electrical vehicle charging station ordinance and permitting checklist is categorically exempt. Do we have a staff report on that?
Yep. Okay. Family Lane Planning Director.
So Siskiyou County, we are required to comply with AB 1236 and AB 970 related to electric vehicle charging stations. And so these ABs both establish certain things like application processes and requirements, as well as certain timelines that all local jurisdictions must adhere to when someone submits a permit for an electric vehicle charging station. And so within your packet this morning, there is a draft zoning ordinance that we will be working to send to the board for approval, as well as a checklist that will be attached to the ordinance, and it will be readily available for folks to apply should we receive any electric vehicle charging station permits. To date, we haven't received any in the county. As you can imagine, that development likely would not happen in the unincorporated county, likely would happen in the incorporated cities. But an effort just to, you know, have this piece done and be proactive, we have this before you all today. This is just a, you know, for FYI item, but happy to answer any questions or comments that we have.
Okay, Commissioner Fowl.
So my first question, going over this checklist, I didn't see a limitation on it that it cannot be in a high wildfire potential area. And I don't see that it needs to meet 4290, 4291 regs with setbacks at least 150 feet of all burnable debris.
I can speak to that. The way the ordinance and the state statutes are designed, the building official will review the application, and normally they must simply proceed with it, except if they find there is a health and safety issue.
Is wildfire not a health and safety issue?
I'm not arguing. It certainly can be. And at that time, the project must be referred to a use permit and referred to the planning commission.
So it could, it would still, the expedited process doesn't mean we won't see any of them. It means there's potential we would, should there be potential risk.
Yes, it's okay. In the judgment of the building official, but yes, there is that.
Okay.
Condition.
All right. Practically speaking, I think Happy Camp would be the only area that this would come into play, right? I don't see it coming into any. I see Gazelle or.
Yeah, I mean, these ABs I think are both from like 2017, so it just goes to show that we haven't had any interest in the unincorporated county anywhere, whether it be Happy Camp or Gazelle or
Nada. That would be the only one I can imagine that you would be involved, right? Or else would you, not Gazelle, or?
Well, I-5 corridor would make sense.
Yeah, I-5 corridor.
But they are. Weed has one. Rica has one, Shasta has one. So, if the state of California put one in a rest stop, would they need to get a permit from the county?
No, it's state property.
Unless it was, on state property.
So.
Yeah, I don't foresee some big wave of electric vehicle charging stations in the future unless there's some grant program that the LTC acquires or, something like that.
And do these need to be sited on, like, commercial property? Or is there a zoning restriction? I didn't.
Well, it's ministerial, so it essentially could be anywhere, but likely it would be on a commercial property.
Okay. So these aren't.
It makes sense.
Okay.
For, signing purposes.
So this isn't for, like, a residential that wanted to put in a charging station for their personal car. This is more of a commercial application.
I believe so, yes.
Because I just saw the 25 or less, so I'm like, well, does that mean one, in somebody's house?
Right, and there are different restrictions, setting one up in your garage. I know it's really, really common with folks with EVs versus, putting them in front of arrays. There's going to be different electrical needs.
Yeah. Okay.
Would you like to know the building department to modify your garage to do all of that?
Yeah.
So you have no idea what's out there right now, whether anybody's compliant or not.
Years ago, the planning, it was going to be required that each garage have a charging station.
Well,
and they quit requiring.
Through the chair.
By driving around last weekend, I saw five of them. They're in garages down there.
Oh, yeah.
And I can bet you there isn't a one of them that's gone to the building.
It's a requirement now with the current building code.
It is?
Yes, to have 220.
Oh, that option.
That is installed into your facility, at your house, for future use, whether you want it or not.
In case you're interested, just a little sidelight, if you plug into a charging station, coal is 42% of that electricity, natural gas is 19%. Wind is 15%, hydro is 4%, and solar 6%. So you're really not pure when you think you're plugging in.
Yeah, it's just, So Ms. Chair, I have a question real quick.
Actually, I was going to state what Community Development Director Dean said, is that it's a requirement of building codes for new dwellings to have that connection in their garages for electric vehicle charging.
Thank you. Commissioner Hart?
So what are you going to do with agricultural operations once all this stuff starts phasing out? All these diesel trucks go away and there are going to be electrical trucks. And what are you going to do on farm?
Fusion.
Just look the other way and whatever gets put in? Or are we going to have to go through a permit process to have those facilities established on our ranches? I know I'm asking a tough question, but it's coming.
Well, how could a 100-foot tractor have one battery?
Well, they're making them.
Yeah.
Yeah. They're already using them with very little success, but they're testing them in the Midwest.
Mm-hmm.
The problem is that the John Deere had a successful model, but it was driverless, and OSHA wouldn't allow the patent to happen. It was how they were able to get a big enough battery, because they basically eliminated the cab. It's a driverless tractor. OSHA said, no, can't have it.
Yeah.
And so they're back to the driver cabs, and they're good for about an hour and a half to 2 hours.
Uh-huh. That won't work.
And it's like, yeah, you're not farming with those.
We can't even load a log truck and get it down the road.
Yeah, I'll go through 2 tanks of fuel in a day running for 18 hours. If you're not finding an electric battery, you'll do that.
Yep. Never mind the cold issues. Have you heard anything about the cold issues?
Well, that's the irony, is like, really? You take the last winter in particular with I-5 being shut down. You don't have enough charging stations in Reading or Medford to charge all the vehicles that get stuck in both locations.
Well, and I have a hybrid, and we use it as our commuter Honda. And I know with the cold, we get a battery warning saying that it's, I don't remember exactly, but you get a warning in your battery that, you know, it's extreme cold. So it doesn't like to run or start. So we don't drive it during the winter. Yeah. And almost every spring we have to get a new battery because it dies during the winter. So just a little FYI. Okay, so how are we supposed to act on this?
Laugh at it.
Okay.
Just an item for your information.
So this is
no vote required.
So this is going to the soups.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Correct.
So this is just a staff report. You don't need our thumbs up on it.
I'll also note, technically, it's not amending the zoning ordinance. It's amending the building portion of the county code. So it doesn't. It affects, I suppose, zoning insofar as we want to let you know, the staff wants to let you know, that this is coming, but it's not really directly the zoning issue.
Okay, great, thank you. So with that, let's move on. Anything else? Okay. So
before you do, just as a side note, since our meeting here recently, need to make sure that this is included in the allowable uses in whatever zone you need to do.
Yep.
And it made, Commissioner Hart brought it up. Yeah, not in the next 10 years, but in 50 years.
Yeah.
Do we want this being allowable use on ag too?
Right.
You'll have a new source of energy by then. You won't be battery. Lithium. Check out the fusion.
hydrogen should be.
Yeah. Hydrogen, for sure.
This is just a stop, yeah.
I think it's a joke for people with lots of money.
Okay, so let's move on to agenda item 3, presentation on section 10, 4.105.3, lot design of the Siskiyou County Municipal Code. Staff report, please.
Haley Lane, Planning Director. So at our April meeting, we did have an item come before the Planning Commission to approve a BLA with double frontage lots. And so adhering to our code, we are required to bring forward those, you know, issues to the Planning Commission. County Council wrote up a quick little memo just outlining, describing, you know, our code section as well as maybe potential issues that could arise from double frontage lots. And so I just prepared like a quick slide deck of double frontage lots. You know, the first slide shows what a typical lot is, front, side yards, backyards, things of that nature. And the next few slides just have high level examples of double frontage lots, and you know how they're, you know, oddly configured. I just wanted to note there are some potential issues, you know, that arise from double frontage lots, although in this county not typical, and not an issue we see all the time. But you know, certain issues could be determination of setbacks. What are we going to determine, the front, the side, you know, and the back lots. Another issue could be circulation or ingress egress, right? If there's a lot, let's say that back, you know, abuts two collector streets that have pretty high traffic, would we want there to be two, you know, ingress and egress driveways in and out, you know, at both sides of the lot? So that could be, you know, a potential issue. Also related to setbacks, accessory structures, where, you know, with the, how are we going to place them? Where are we going to site them? You know, based on what is the front yard, right? And then also potentially aesthetics, right? If you're in a neighborhood where, let's say, all of the backyards have fencing, and then there's one with two front lots, and they don't have fencing, some could, you know, construe that as you know, aesthetic problems with the neighborhood, should people be concerned about things like that. So I just wanted to highlight some issues from that, and those are really my only comments. I don't know if Bill has anything else, but just wanting to open this up for discussion.
Great, thank you.
If a person, that vacant lot, if a person chose to have the other street, is this address?
Right, is there, yeah, that could be a potential issue.
They can do it? It's their choice?
I believe that would have to come before the planning to determine that. Yeah.
Well, they could. My only comment would be that looking at other counties, I mean, the concern mainly seems to be where there can be confusion with the setback lines and where they have restrictions based on accessory structures. Here in Siskiyou County, where so many of the lots are very large setback lines, and where you can place accessory structures, and we're not talking about quarter acre or less urban lots, just are probably not as an important issue.
Mm-hmm.
Although I'm sure there are places in the counties, in this county, where there are probably small lots, and it might make a difference. Generally, it matters. This type of ordinance matters most, obviously, when you're talking about small, compact lots squashed against each other.
Commissioner, Ms. Garrett.
Thank you. So even though there is a question about what would be considered the front or not, our code actually does have language in it so that regardless of what is the front or side or rear, if there is a street that is a public street of some sort, even if it's a privately owned street, there is a requirement for a 50-foot setback from the center line of that road easement. So usually with 60-foot road right-of-ways, that ends up being 20 feet from the center line, or 20 feet from the property line, which is what the setback is for the front in any case.
Okay. Great. Thank you.
So, don't know if any of you been on staff when we did have it, but several years ago we had a few vacation rental use permits in McLeod, and the homes had a front facing a street, and then there was an alley in the back, which essentially is a double, double front. That was never brought up in those use permits. In fact, two of them, we allowed parking both in the back and in the front in order to meet the parking requirement.
That's the only place, place you can find it.
And I guess that was what was in the back of my mind. It's like, other than McLeod, where else does this really even apply? Yet when we had the projects in McLeod, this issue was never brought up.
Mm-hmm.
It was brought up at, what, the last one was Lake Chestina?
Lake Chestina.
It's like, do we really care as a planning commission whether you ingress, egress, front, back, or both?
Mm-hmm.
That's an HOA concern. I don't care about it.
Right.
I mean, really?
Mm-hmm.
That's my personal opinion, but it's like, why waste our time on that?
Sure. Any questions, Mr. Schmidfield? Okay. Well, I appreciate the update and the concerns of what potentially could be, you know, needing to be considered. But I think this is going to be a rare issue with our county, at least at this time and
very
date.
Rare. Yeah.
Just because of the rural nature.
I agree.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, I appreciate that.
Sure.
So. Okay. So we are moving right along. So the future meeting, the next regular meeting of the Planning Commission is scheduled for Wednesday, June 21st, at 2023 at 9 a.m.
I don't know which staff wanted to comment on that or not. What I understood from Janine, it doesn't matter to me that possibly you may not have anything with the agenda.
Yeah, we don't have anything ready for the June agenda in terms of projects that we were considering canceling and then just reconvening in July, and then we could have that Zoom discussion. But it's the wishes of the commission.
Make it real important. I don't have to deal with it.
Why don't we? I mean, if they don't have anything on the agenda, for June. Why don't we just postpone June or cancel June and just reconvene in July? Do we need a motion to do that?
I would suggest a motion.
You want to make a motion?
I'll make a motion.
Okay. So Commissioner Harp made a motion to cancel the June 21st meeting. We have a second?
I'll second.
What's July look like?
Hot.
July would be the 19th. So yeah, so we would be back.
Yeah.
So we have a motion and a second. All those in favor?
Aye.
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 Okay, motion carries. Okay. Any correspondence? No correspondence? Any staff comments? Okay, Ms. Haley?
Haley Lynn, Planning Director. I just wanted to let you all know, last Friday we had the general plan kickoff meeting. Commissioner Fowle was present, as well as Board Supervisor Nancy Ogren. So we talked a lot, very high level, general plan issues, challenges, opportunities, things that may or may not change within the zoning code, establishment of schedule for the general plan. And so, as these efforts evolve, staff will be updating the commission and the board as well. Some key dates coming up, or not key dates, but key events that still have yet to be determined in terms of when they're going to happen. There will be a two-day county tour where we're going to be with the consultants going out into the field, looking at every corner of the county. And so if any of you are interested to attend that, let me know. We likely will ask two commissioners and two board of supervisor members.
When was that?
We don't know yet, but it will be in the next few months.
What are you looking at?
Just boots on the ground, county, just to, for the consultant to get an idea of everything Siskiyou County has to offer. And in addition to the county tour in the next few months, there will be a joint planning commission and board of supervisor meeting. So that will be needed to be published per the Brown Act, and you know that schedule will be in the works. So those are two events to keep an eye out
Thank
for.
You.
Additionally, on Friday, it was Planner Gray's last day. She is moving to Tennessee.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you know of anybody who would like to be a planner for our county, please let them know that we will be posting the vacancy soon.
Yes.
Okay. We'll wish her well for us. Mm-hmm. From us. Thank you. Okay. Back to your meeting. I would like to be considered. I don't know if anybody else would, as far as the field tour.
I'm giving up my tour seat to my my supervisor.
Mm-hmm.
Because I would prefer he be there rather than I.
Mm-hmm. Oh, so it's planning commission or supervisors?
Well, Ray and I don't attend the same meetings.
Right, so for to not have any conflicting Brown Act issues, you know, two soups and two commissioners. That one won't be published, but the joint, there will be a joint planning commission and board meeting, kind of study work session on general plan and zoning code issues. That will be published.
Great. So then we all can attend.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay, great.
The tour is.
The tour, no. Yeah.
Okay. So I guess at this point, let's open it up to commission comments.
Just a question back to the general plan update. So the housing element, which you're expanding,
mm-hmm.
deals low income disadvantage and all of that. Are there specific guidelines in the state mm-hmm. legislation that says where you have to place that?
Not where. Well, in turn, no.
So it can go anywhere in the county. So nobody gets excluded. Nobody gets a pass just
right.
because they don't want it in their neighborhood.
Correct.
Mm-hmm.
Correct.
Because there's going to be a lot of jumping up and down and screaming and hollering about it.
Mm-hmm.
Where do you allow it?
Mm-hmm.
You can't force it, but if
right.
somebody comes in and has, well, I've got five lots and this is what I want to do, and I've got a developer who wants
yeah.
to do that. I just look at all the lawsuits that the AGs bring against municipalities for,
yeah. for
saying
not
no
allowing
to
that.
Yeah.
I actually just, I don't know if you were here, but within the last month or two, I went to a planning commissioner training,
uh-huh.
and they talked about this,
yeah.
and that basically there's a mandate to develop,
but to implement,
and
really.
There's penalties not to implement.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
so.
The reason I'm asking is the last thing that Commissioner Knoll brought up about what you need to put it in close to Wairika, because that's where you've got all the services.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's why I'm asking the question about that and locales where you put it. Well, what about Doris Tule Lake? You're obviously not going to come this way, they're going to go to Clamath Falls, just because that's where it's supposed to be.
Yep.
And if you're worried about community services, you got the stage transportation system that runs all over the place here at different times of the day. So does that need a requirement if you establish one of these communities
mm-hmm.
in the outlying areas, does it have to be close to that type of a service?
No.
No, it doesn't.
Huh.
The only
it would make sense for it to
it,
be.
Common
but it
sense
have
would
to
say
be.
Yes.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
That
well, I'm just asking because
this
is
a state that created the mandate.
If
right.
we do
it's
this,
almost making it
say it's going to go
or
in Timberhill,
go
it's going to go in Mount Shasta Highlands.
I say
you
we
watch those people
do it out at Shasta Vista.
I've already got them.
Oh, okay.
That's why I'm not going to be here on the 19th. I'm going to go right through the middle of that with 200 head of cows.
But
you
can't. You want
to come join me?
Well, I'm tempted, as long as I can pack.
How many volunteers can I get?
If you relocate a homeless community, it has to be close to services. You can't put it out in the boondocks.
Well, that's why I'm asking about if you've got
right.
a transportation system, provided public transportation.
Well, I think they're talking about grocery stores and service stations.
But
right.
the mandate
the
doesn't
council.
Say
that.
That
doesn't
right.
say that.
It doesn't,
say
not for
this
specific
camp.
Issue.
If the state says, okay, we're going to establish a homeless camp, it has to be next to services.
Right,
such as
but we're not talking
but
about
I think
homeless
that's
camp.
The
yeah,
two
that's
lowest
ones.
The only restriction, Blair, that they talked about at my training
yeah.
was that if there was a limitation on like sewer, septic,
yeah.
that sort of thing,
right.
or water.
That
those
would be for any
right.
Yeah, and that was any development. But that's literally the only restriction that they were bringing up.
Okay, so let's go back to the groundwater ordinance. Because that's my next question, after we get done with this. So we put in something like going on up here on Foothill Drive, out here in an outlying area here somewhere. And all of a sudden, you got to put in a well, and you got 100 units there on a small acreage. They're going to be taking a whole lot more than 2 acre feet of water. How are we going to address that? I know I'm asking what ifs here, and I'm asking to look at the crystal ball, but
I think
actions have consequences here. And
I think in this case, the what if is real because they are the water with Sigma. Mm-hmm. Is limited.
Right. Why can't they truck the water in?
What's that?
Why can't they truck the water in?
You just want this discussion to go longer and longer, huh?
Mount Shasta subdivision.
They do truck water in.
Mount Shasta subdivision. They're trucking water out of Big Springs up the hill on an unpermitted well.
Well, there you go.
Because it's not potable water. It hasn't gone through a CEQA process.
Well, there you go.
They can go down to Crystal Geyser and buy all the water they want, but the county can't stop them right now. So I'm just looking at the maze of what legal potential here, because I'm looking at the groundwater ordinance, and we all got to see a look at last week at the groundwater meetings, and I kind of came unhinged about one, not following groundwater law, which is everybody, what's the term, conjunctive use, where you put a well in, somebody comes in across the road 10 years or 20 years later and goes down 200 feet and dries you up, I ought to have a right to go right down to that same source. And I don't know how you're going to tackle that. I brought that issue up. Because there's a number of court cases out there in Western United States that have dealt specifically with that. And so I'm looking at the whole thing here, and what I brought up and what Mr. Allen brought up. Right now it's agriculture that's being throttled back. But we don't know what the water budget is out there. We don't know what the use is for domestic out there. Until we know that, how do we know whether we're harming the environment? Because the restriction you have there, where you have to bring in a licensed, registered hydrologist, geologist, to say, yes, the new well that you're going to put in is not going to have an effect there. Right back to Kidder Creek. And the retired gentleman that they hired, Mr. Pearson, made the comment in both meetings, in high school gym and here, that you get out quarter of a mile away from the stream corridor, if you're pumping less than 1,300 gallons a minute, you're not going to show an effect on that stream. Is that good enough? I know I'm asking some tough questions because...
It's difficult for sure. All very valid. The pros at Wednesday, we had, as you said, our meetings with the GSA committees and so forth to get feedback. Right now, with the draft as it is, it relies heavily on that professional.
Are you projecting a lot of growth in Siskiyou County? Are they?
It's a crystal ball. It hasn't been shined up for the last 30 years. But I think the cork's going to pop here pretty soon.
I mean,
it's just what it is.
A huge increase?
If the state continues to curtail ag water,
yes.
There will be subdivisions happen, property will be for sale, and it's going to be the only use of the land.
Yep.
Plain and simple. Either the state pulls its head out of its ass and figures out they're headed down the wrong path, or they don't. If they do, hey, ag survives in Siskiyou County. If they don't, Siskiyou County's done in terms of farming and ranching.
All I'm saying is that it doesn't seem to be, with all the effects that they've had for the last 10 years, it hasn't been an increase in Siskiyou County like other counties in California.
No,
other counties are really busted.
Because enough of us are hard-headed enough to tell the state to stop it. Other counties just said, screw it, and moved to Texas, Arizona, New Mexico. Look at the Central Valley.
Yeah. I mean, I think there's 2,500 lots still to be developed in Chesney, is that right?
Who wants to live out there? All I'd much saying, rather live in Scott Valley.
I know, all I'm saying.
Location, location, location.
All I'm saying, you know, is that there are lots available that haven't been taken up, and we haven't taken them up. So I don't think,
I don't see a big influx coming into this county.
Yeah, but I do in the sense of, like in Shasta County, for example, I'm watching them because my family's in Shasta County, and I'm watching them set, you know, their, it was always, you know, the downtown and the Dana Drive. And now you look at Bonneview down into Churn Creek Bottoms, Anderson's growing up, as well as there's new development going in Oasis, Shasta Lake City.
And
it's
that county,
creep.
That mm-hmm. county has grown for the
I know,
last
but,
10 years. Really
but my point is, 30 years ago-ish when I moved to Reading, like, there wasn't even a Macy's, and now look at it. I foresee as Shasta County continues to grow, Siskiyou County, we're going to be their bedroom community. That's honestly, because I was talking to a real estate agent, and I don't know if this is the current, but a year or two ago, like 90% of the new home sales are like out-of-town people. So we're getting a demographic shift. We're getting pressure on ag and forestry. So traditional people that have maintained our lifestyles, you know, and the open spaces are going to be selling off. I mean, I'm seeing it right now. Most of my client base is 70, 80 years old.
I'm not,
you know,
they're not expressing an opinion. I'm just saying, heretofore, we have not seen that growth where other counties
not yet.
Have seen
but I think it's coming. I do okay. personally think it's coming.
Back to the housing element, that's the big push. That there isn't enough low income housing for blue collar people, for workers.
Affordable.
Yet we have a great influx of people come up and buy homes as a second home, and it's leased out 10 months out of the year, vacation rentals. Is there any thought from the board of supervisors that maybe we need a moratorium on that until we get the general plan housing element stuff all in place?
That's
because it seems
we'll
like
give a recap on it. Yeah, where we're at with that.
There is going to be a regional approach on that. Were you here last planning commission meeting?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Because Haley gave an update on that.
Yeah. So the board currently is taking a regional approach, you know, in relation to regulation of vacation rentals. So the focus is primarily South County and McLeod area. So they definitely for you know South County McLeod in support of keeping the 2.5 acre minimum, as well as they're discussing cap. They want a cap, but it hasn't been finalized yet. For McLeod at least, Weed, Densmere, Mount Shasta area, they're thinking of 5% based on the vacancy rate numbers that you know you all saw. McLeod, still to be determined on what that number is. North County is going to have, you know, they're supporting less regulation just because there's not, you know, the same needs and issues that, you know, South County has been experiencing.
I just don't see how you're going to perfect low-cost housing unless it's heavily subsidized somewhere.
What?
You take a 1,500 square foot house, you're talking $300,000.
Yeah.
Okay, that's not clouding the land.
Mm-hmm.
That's just the housing code. So, I mean, who can afford a $300,000 house just starting out, right?
Well, I
no,
think,
and I don't know how you get those costs, building costs down below that.
Right up on that hill up there.
Yep.
Where'd they get the money for that?
Well, that's subsidized.
Yeah, well, I think in my training I went to, it seems that there is developers with funding, and that's how the you know affordable housing piece is met, is through development and state funds. And they're not single family homes, they're multifamily homes.
Yeah.
Duplexes, condos.
With all the incentives that California has for infrastructure, I don't see a developer wanting to invest in a housing project now because you're talking 3 years out. And what's on the horizon 3 years out? What's the interest rates going to be 3 years out?
Well, and that's why a lot focus in urban areas.
Yeah.
Because
what's the economy going to be 3 years
scale
out? I wouldn't do it. I wouldn't get it.
Not from
you couldn't give me the land and say start the development. So anyway.
Yeah.
I think we get all lathered up about stuff that isn't going to happen.
Okay, Okay. Are there any other comments or things for the staff? Okay.
So, back to the groundwater ordinance. We got the groundwater committee's got to see the draft. And we commented on it. And a couple of us posted our complaints. That won't come here. That's just going directly to the board of supervisors.
Yes.
Yeah. And when is that going to show up? And when are they going to pass it or branch it around or what?
We're going to present on June
20th.
Okay, June 20th.
Are we allowed to go to that meeting?
You can go to that meeting so long as there's not more than two of you, but you're of course free to listen to it on Zoom.
Okay. I'm just wondering as a water rights holder.
Mm-hmm.
I did send my husband just to be safe to the Sigma meeting.
Water here?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So all five of us couldn't attend a public meeting if we don't come together and make a decision?
My answer is no. If I have further thoughts, I'll
check
on that.
Good,
but I think
we got sued by somebody when four of us went to the same restaurant to eat, and only two of us sat at one table, and two sat at another table on the other side of the restaurant, and we still got sued.
No, they didn't sue you. They tried to fine you.
Well, they tried to sue us.
But they didn't.
No, it was unsuccessful, yes. But I mean, four of us went to the same restaurant, but sat opposite sides.
I was there, you and Mike.
Mike and I ate at one table, and you ate at
Mike,
another table with Tony or somebody.
Yeah.
That's ridiculous.
Yeah, no.
So June 20th is the Board of Soup Sigma meeting here in this chambers.
Yeah.
Okay.
The
are you going?
Committee guidelines.
No.
Are you going?
I voiced via phone.
You're asking?
Yeah.
What do you feel like going?
I figured you're going. I just don't want to, you know, if
there's
he's
not,
going.
We're not making any decisions. So how is it Brown Act violation?
No, just being.
It's not. You can go sit there and listen and observe. That's not
just
a Brown Act violation.
I just want to be very cautious.
Is that going to be notified?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. Okay. Great. Okay. Well, with that, I am going to adjourn the meeting at 9:52.